Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, next on the programme, the government will today move to end the practice of fur farming here in Ireland. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue is expected to bring a memo to Cabinet on the prohibition of the practice later today. He's seeking approval from his ministerial colleagues to implement a prohibition on fur farming, as well as to provide for a scheme of compensation for the remaining fur farmers. And where it comes to mink, we're talking about a very small number of farms in this country. I'm joined on the line by Redmond O'Hanlon, who's a retired mink farmer. Redmond, good afternoon and welcome to News Talk.
Hello, Adrian. Hello.
Redmond, was it necessary to bring in this ban on fur farming?
Of course it wasn't. But unfortunately, that's the way things are going. They are 60 years trying to get rid of mink farms. That is the animal rights people who seem to be able to dictate to governments nowadays as to what farming is allowed and what farming isn't. So they have finally succeeded, and I understand they are now using even the COVID virus, so-called COVID virus thing, to get rid of mink farms.
Mind you, they have reason behind that, and that was the outbreak in Denmark last year of COVID among mink, which caused huge concern here.
It spread to one single person who works on mink farms all over the world.
Okay, so one of the reasons that this is being outlawed is because it's seen as cruel. Now, you worked as a farmer of mink for many, many years. Was what you were doing, Redmond, cruel?
I can tell you, I am a lover of animals. And if I spent 35 years at something that was a cruelty to animals, I mean, it is just absurd. I mean, you might as well say then that any animal that is in constrained within an environment is cruel. There is no difference between a mink and a pig and a cow in a field, or a horse in a field, or a bird in a cage. And people practice or a little furry thing in a little small cage. There's no difference between any of them at all.
Okay, now I know animal rights campaigners will argue that they all should be treated with more respect as well. But when it comes to mink, you know, we're not talking about animals for food. We're talking about animals for human vanity.
Yeah, in the main, mink fur was used to heat people in the cold. So that's why they are used as clothes, so they are. There's no difference between, you might as well say then we get rid of sheep because they use the wool for the sheep and wool, and you know, it just goes on and on and on and on, all the nonsense.
Okay, in terms of mink, we know over the last number of years it's been so un-PC to be seen to even own a mink coat or jacket, let alone wear one. So really the trade is a dying trade anyway, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's booming worldwide. It's only here in begrudgery Ireland that you will get, oh, look, I can't afford something like that, so I'm going to make sure that lady doesn't go and wear that coat. It is just a load of nonsense. In China now and places like that, they sales of furs, and then in cold places like Canada and Russia and all, the mink coat business is booming. So
okay, but the argument again is this is slaughtering animals for human vanity, and that's really all it is.
Oh, humans have been doing that since the beginning of time. So they have.
Okay, stay there for one second, Redmond. I want to bring in John Carmody, who was the founder of the Animal Rights Action Network. John, good afternoon and welcome to News Talk.
Thanks for having me on, Adrian.
John, you've heard Redmond say there is no need to bring in this ban on fur farming.
You know what? Myself and Ed Redmond go back now since the 90s, and he has been coming out with those statements for quite some time, and I do, you know, respect his opinion. But the reality is, Adrian, and we've said this back in the 90s to Adrian, that there is and there was no future in this industry. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most violent industries on the face of this planet. Now, don't take my word for it. Just look at the undercover investigations that continually come out anytime we get activists and campaigners in behind the scenes with hidden cameras into these fur farms. We had investigations into fur farms here in this country that we were able to break and show the public over the years, and no one's buying it anymore. It's not animal rights campaigners now at this stage that are putting pressure on the government. It's because of consumer sentiment. No one wants to have, you know, the skins of a tormented, tortured animal on the backs of their jackets.
Well, according to Redmond, half of China wants to wear them.
Well, you know what? That's probably one of the main outliers, as a matter of fact, because you'd be hard-pressed in this day and age to find any top designer from one of me right now, as a matter of fact. The chances are they're all for free. They're washing their hands of the blood that they would have been involved with for many, many years. They're done with it. No one wants anything got to do with this industry anymore. And we've been saying that since the 90s when we were dragging bloodied fur coats through the streets. You'd remember the celebrities coming out speaking out against the use of fur, protesters chaining themselves onto department stores and boutiques that were selling all these skins. But not anymore. You go through any street in Dublin.
Well, John, let me just put a text to you that's just come in, and it says, fur is a natural way to stay warm. The artificial substitutes, this faux fur, is environmentally disastrous.
No, you know what? As a matter of fact, those arguments may have held some sort of water back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s when we were tick. We knew no different. We didn't know how sentient animals, just like your dog or the cat, want to be free of pain and suffering. But in this day and age, we don't have to put through all these animals through suffering, caging them, confining them, skinning them, gassing them. And I'll save your listeners the more graphic detail as to how these animals are killed. But the reality is this, Adrian. You know, you can go into any high street store right now in Dublin, pick any street you want, any boutique, any top department store. You will not find any fur coats or any trinkets or any collars or cuffs with any furs, for the most part, on their shelves anymore.
Okay, but let me just go back to Redmond for a second. Redmond, I know you mentioned that in China it's a booming trade, but realistically, even anybody listening to us right now who owns a mink coat wouldn't dare to walk outside their front door wearing it.
Why? Why wouldn't they? Because these animal rights people have cause a prejudice against them and all of that. Look, I'll tell you something about animal rights. In 1960, that same animal rights people who are all whinging about cruelty and everything like that, they let 3,000 domestic mink out of a mink farm in Rexy and Sword.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. They became the wild mink population in Ireland that have gone on in the last 60 years to kill and destroy millions of wild animals, thanks to animal rights. So they have, and it's just dreadful. So it is that here they are talking about pain. When Walt Disney gave Mickey Mouse a human personality, animal rights began. Animals do not think and behave and all the things that they are accused of doing. Animals do not think like human beings do. And there's no difference between keeping a mink for a fur coat, as there is, and keeping a pig for their Sunday dinner, or a lamb.
Well, I know John Carmody doesn't like people keeping pigs for their Sunday dinner either. And in fact, John, you would go so far as to say that this conversation should start a new conversation about banning wool and leather.
Well, you know, and that's a good point, Adrian, so thanks for bringing that up. But the reality is this, for anyone listening right now, if you put your hand up against the chest of their dog or their cat that's sitting probably beside them right now, the chances are you're going to feel a beating heart. And the reality is for mink, and we probably don't have that direct connection with mink, but they're no different in that they want to be free of pain and suffering. But it says a lot more about society, what happens today with government sitting down at the table right now talking about animal rights and right now discussing that in early 2022, you know, we're going to be closing the gates. Thank God for that. And these fur farms will be growing daisies. And
okay, so in terms of animal rights, John, this is a good day for animal rights, but more needs to be done. Is that your argument?
Well, the conversation now needs to shift about us wearing all the other types of skins. For instance, we need to get the leather off our backs and the leather off our shoes. We need to get rid of the wool. Because, let's face it, there's no difference when it comes to skinning animals. And, again, there's no difference to the suffering. And all these industries are profit off the backs of these animals. We're moving a corner, and I think anything anyone can do to be kinder and to shop kinder and be more compassionate in their choices definitely is to be commended. But it's definitely a great day for sure. And I'd just like to say as well, a huge thank you to the likes of Pamela Anderson, Adrian, who came out in support of the ban on fur farming in Ireland. Angelica Houston came out. Good old Linda Martin, one of the good old Irish reliables who's constantly fighting for animal rights. Sharon Shannon, they all came out in support of the campaign to ban fur farming, and it's a great day. We're really
okay, happy. And I just want to read one final message, Redmond, for you, if I may. There is a massive difference, says this person, between a mink and domestic farm animal. This man is advocating barbaric cruelty. Tiny cages for super energetic predators like mink is disgusting. Redmond should be ashamed. What do you say to that, Redmond?
A load of nonsense. The mink are kept in a separate because they are a vicious animal and they will attack and kill one another, so they do. As long as a mink is perfectly fed and watered throughout its life and it ends up as a pristine creature with perfect fur and perfect health, how can someone say that they've lived a life of cruelty if someone ends up a thing like that?
Okay, one final question for you, Redmond. What will happen now to the mink that are on the three Irish mink farms when this becomes law? What will happen to those? Will they be let out into the wild?
What will happen is that at pelting time, they'll have to kill every single mink in the country at pelting time when they can still be sold as pelts. Then the taxpayer is going to have to pay huge amounts of money in compensation for the cost of setting up these mink farms, for the cost of the all the unemployment.
Okay, so for the mink in terms of their rights and their life, it's not necessarily a good day for those mink is really what I'm hearing from you. I really appreciate you both for joining us on the programme today. John Carmody from the Animal Rights Action Network, thank you very much indeed for joining us on News Talk this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.